Good afternoon. It's 5:44. This is 90.7 WFAE. I'm Mark Rumsey. Today, the first legal challenge to North Carolina's House Bill 2 was filed in federal court. That's the law passed by a special session of the General Assembly last week and signed into law by Governor McCrory the same day. HB 2 includes sweeping measures, though supporters say it mostly clarifies what cities, towns, and counties can do to limit discrimination in hiring, firing, and places of public accommodation. This includes public schools and campuses throughout the UNC system. WFAE's Tom Bullock joins me now to talk about the suit. Hi, Tom.
Afternoon, Mark.
Well, Tom, it seems UNC schools are at the heart of this federal case.
That's absolutely right. HB 2 ends the ability of transgender individuals to use the multiple occupancy restroom, locker room, or similar facility of their choice. Here's how Chris Brook, the legal director for the North Carolina ACLU, described the suit.
We are asking the court to overturn House Bill 2 because it is unconstitutional, because it violates the Equal Protection and Due Process clauses of the 14th Amendment, because it discriminates on the basis of sex and sexual orientation, and because it is an invasion of privacy for transgender men and transgender women. The law also violates Title IX by discriminating against students on the basis of sex.
Okay, Tom, translate that for us.
So the case, Mark, it deals with two aspects of this law, the restroom provision, but also Title IX federal money. The U.S. Department of Education has determined that sexual identity and gender identity fall under the federal non-discrimination law, specifically the provision that bans discrimination because of sex. Title IX requires all educational institutions which receive federal money to adhere to that and other non-discrimination rules, and that is the key to this particular case.
Okay, interesting. And of course, you need plaintiffs to have a suit. Who are the plaintiffs in this case?
Well, there are three individuals listed as lead plaintiffs, two transgender men and one lesbian, all work or are a student at a UNC school. And I want to focus on the story of one of the transgendered males in particular. He spoke at the news conference.
My name is Joaquin Carcaño. I am a 27-year-old transgender man, an HIV project coordinator at UNC Chapel Hill, and a resident of North Carolina.
And Carcaño's story is laid out in the court's filings. He was born a woman. In 2013, he sought treatment for severe depression and was diagnosed with a condition known as gender dysphoria, which is recognized by the American Psychiatric Association. Eventually, he went through a bilateral mastectomy and hormone therapy. Carcaño says he tried to commit suicide before becoming a man. The case argues that Carcaño, by keeping him from using male facilities, it harms his treatment for that condition. And of this new law, Carcaño said this.
That hateful and dehumanizing ideas about us are being voiced as they have been surrounding this issue. The emotional violence takes its toll.
That, along with the alleged violations of the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Under the Law Clause, is the stated harm in this case.
All right, Tom, back to Title IX. How does that come into this?
Well, Mark, because the law requires that if you use a multiple occupancy facility at a UNC school, among others, you must use the facility corresponding with the sex on your birth certificate. That, the plaintiffs argue, violates Title IX and could endanger $4.5 billion North Carolina receives in Title IX federal funding this year alone. The suit also points out the facility at the UNC building where Carcaño works has no single-use facilities, which are allowed to be used by anyone. The suit goes further, however. It also calls on the court to stop the bill because, the suit claims, it allows discrimination in hiring and firing practices.
Well, what reactions have we seen from the governor and state legislature to this suit?
Well, no one we reached out to would do an interview, but we do, Mark, have a slew of statements. First, Speaker Tim Moore and Senate Pro Tem Phil Berger put out a joint statement saying, quote, "The lawsuit takes this debate out of the hands of voters and instead attempts to argue with a straight face that there is a previously undiscovered right in the U.S. Constitution for men to use women's bathrooms and locker rooms." As for Governor McCrory, he says he's working to counter a coordinated national effort to mislead the public on this bill, but like Berger and Moore, he did not address specifics in the lawsuit. Now, Representative Dan Bishop did. He's a Republican from Mecklenburg County and a sponsor of the bill. He referred us to his post on his Facebook page, where he refutes the risk to North Carolina's Title IX funding. Bishop wrote, quote, "This is a radical reinterpretation of Title IX by the Obama administration." And in an interview with the Asheville Citizen-Times, he says, "To imply that North Carolina will lose federal education funding is a Chicken Little, the sky is falling cry."
And have we heard from Attorney General Roy Cooper?
No, actually. Now, Cooper, as North Carolina's Attorney General, is a named defendant in this suit. He has yet to say whether he or his office will defend the law before the federal judge. That is the usual role of the state's Attorney General. And this puts Cooper, who is, of course, running against Pat McCrory for governor, in a really tight spot. Either he defends the law, which many Democrats don't like, or he says he won't, and he opens himself up to political attacks for not doing his job.
An ongoing story. WFAE's Tom Bullock, thank you.
You're welcome.